We're going to the second part of this presentation on decision-making and discernment, and it's about kind of the how-to. Briefly, St. Ignatius, in that book, The Spiritual Exercises, isolates three times, or I would say three experiences of making choices. And remember, we're talking about not a choice between evil and good, but a choice of what can better make me come alive and can help me be of service and praise and reverence to God and service of the human community, of helping them come alive as well. And he says there's three times, and the first one he doesn't spend a lot of time on because there's really not a lot to say. It's just kind of like, I just know. God makes his will so clear, I know what I should do. But I think there are times in our life when what we do is in conjunction with God to such an extent that we just know this is the right thing to do. And you don't even maybe have to explain it or can explain it, you just know it. Now that's dangerous because, like I say, there are people who are in hospitals and prisons because they've done heinous things under the mistaken impression that God told them to do them. So that's why there's always a discernment in the context of the tradition, of the scriptures, of the whole experience we have of what it means to be faithful to God and God to be faithful to us, so that we know that it's not the evil spirit masking as an angel of light. The second time is when there are an awful lot of ups and downs. You really can't make up your mind, and you're moved by different spirits, by different things inside yourself. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, absolutely, we should go this way. And then another time you're thinking, oh, that dude's dumb. I don't think we should go that way at all. And then the third time is more of a right brain type of thing. That's where some people think this is the only way that a Jesuit makes decisions, is to write down all the pros and cons. Well, that is one of the ways. Ignatius said, if that's the way that God is influencing you, that's fine. And he said also, you might think, if someone came to you with this decision, what advice would you give them? And then see if you can't apply it to yourself. Or if you were at the end of your life and you're looking back and you're saying, I really wished I'd have done this, what would that have been? So ways of kind of getting some distance from the emotional engagement and being rational about it. But the one that most people wind up in more is that second one, where there's ups and downs. And that brings us to the whole idea of spirits, discernment of spirits. He lived in a medieval world, Ignatius did. There were demons and angels, and for him, they were very real and very active. But he also knew that there were things inside himself, that there were tendencies or emotions, and that some of those spirits could play on those. He had an interesting experience. He found it fascinating because he said it began for him the process of discerning spirits in his own life. How many of you know something about the life of Ignatius? Just put your hand up if the cannonball means anything. Okay, this guy was laid up in a castle. His legs had been broken by a cannonball. He had a long recovery. There was only two books to read. One was The Life of the Saints, and one was The Life of Christ. What he wanted was their equivalent of Harlequin romances, because he was totally into being a noble, a fighter, a person who was very sexually attractive and very much into relationships with women, especially if they were powerful women in the court. And then all the knights, you know, being in battles and saving the damsel in distress and all this stuff. There were no books like that in the castle. So for hours on end, with that leg healing up, he would think about these things. He would think about being a great knight. And he found out that it was just really engrossing. It really grabbed him. And then he would stop thinking about it. He'd get bored. And then he would realize that he just felt kind of disquieted. Didn't last. But then he would read something in the life of Christ or the life of the saints, Dominic or Francis, and he'd really get excited, just like he had been excited in those other fantasies that he had. And then when he put those down, that lasted a long time. And so he said, that was the first time that I began to see that there was a difference. It was the very first lesson in discerning spirits. There was one experience that was very, very deep, but it didn't stay very deep. And there was another experience that was very deep and stayed very deep. And he said, those were different. They led to a different place, and they came from a different place. He said, the good spirit tries to lead a person into consolation. Consolation is not just kind of zoning out. Consolation is that your life is pretty much in order, that your faith and your hope and your love are all engaged, that you are on the right track, that you know that you feel peaceful, that you know that something's going on that's good, even though it might be difficult. Even though it might be difficult. So, for example, if a person is trying to grow away from some vice, it might be, or some addiction, it might be very, very difficult. But it's basically an experience of consolation. They know they're going the right way. So just by calling it consolation doesn't mean that there can't be some suffering involved. But it means that at the fundamental level, if you think of it like the ocean, that what's going on top, like all this disquiet and so on, is not going on underneath. But desolation is just the opposite. Desolation means deep down underneath you are not peaceful. You are not congruent with God or with yourself. Your faith, your hope, and your love just seem to be more and more drifting away. You're critical of yourself primarily, but of everything else. And you're just unhappy. That's desolation. He said, actually, the spirit, the good spirit can make you dissatisfied, can make a person on the bad path dissatisfied at being on the bad path. But where it's leading is it's leading to goodness, whereas the desolation that doesn't come from God, it just leaves you stuck. And so he says you have to learn how to pay attention to the one and to work against the other. So just because you think some thought doesn't necessarily mean it's from God. You have to look at where it came from, of how it's making you feel and how it's impacting your life and where it's going. And the more you get to know yourself, and this is where a retreat is very, very helpful. The more you get to know yourself and your strengths and your weaknesses, the more you begin to develop a sense of smell, spiritual smell. It's like when you walk in the room and you say, I don't know what it is, but something died in here. It's like a mouse. It must be a mouse. What is there, a mouse in here? It's almost like this. I can't put my finger on it, but even though this sounds like a good idea, something's wrong. Something's off here. It's almost like, you know, it's just a half a note low. It doesn't fit. Something's wrong. And you acquire this, I think, because you spend an awful lot of time getting to know God and getting to know Christ and getting to know how the good spirit works. And then you start to see how the bad spirit works. And you kind of catch that little whiff of sulfur. And you say, this isn't good. This one is better. And then Ignatius says, you make your choice. But you're not done, because you have to offer that choice to God and you have to see if it's confirmed. Does God confirm it? And the confirmation is it leads to greater consolation. It really does pull your life together. You just develop this relationship, I think, over a long time of serious, not super serious in the sense of makes you sad or anything, but of a real commitment to a relationship with God, so that you're really open. That you really work on that stuff of being, you know, not my will but yours be done. I'm here to serve. I'm here to praise and reverence creation. And you try to live in that. You try to live in that space. And then you find your skill getting better. I always thought it was instructive that Thomas Aquinas, when he said, if you want a source of moral wisdom, you can go to the scripture, you can go to the teaching of the church, but you know where else you can go? You can watch what good people do. You can watch what good people do, and if you see them doing this, it's probably pretty good. So it's not just a mental exercise, it's a feeling exercise. Now, the other thing he says, which I think most people learn pretty early, but they forget, and I forget it all the time, you shouldn't make major decisions in a time of desolation. That's the last time you want to make that. So, because you're led by a bad spirit, nothing that you can do is going to amount to much because you're under an influence that is not a good influence. I'm not talking about possession or anything like that. It's just that kind of the person driving the bus at that time does not have your welfare at heart. So, just stay where you are, wait it out, do what you can to move it back into consolation, pray. Talk to someone so that you begin to get your life more in order. But don't make big decisions that change things, especially if you're going to be involving other people. Ultimately, you commit yourself, and that's all you can do. You do the best you can. And that's what God says he's really pleased at. Do the best you can. Now, I wanted to say something about signs, because when I talked to Peter, he said, oh, don't finish this talk without saying something about signs, because people look for them. They will say, for example, should I move to another town? Should I go to this school or that school? Let's make up something. Let's say you've got somebody who says, should I go to Notre Dame or Marquette? Well, okay, so someone might say, I can't decide this. There's too many. So if I go outside and if the first thing I see when I open my eyes is something green, then I'll know that that's the sign that I should go to Notre Dame. If the first thing that I see has some rust on it or looks like a basketball, maybe I should go to Marquette. I'll go to Marquette. But if I see that green, I'm going to do that. That's a sign. I want to recall a story to you. Well, first of all, it's magic. And so forget it. Don't be looking for signs. Because a lot of that stuff's just luck. But on the scripture side, remember what Jesus was saying a couple weeks ago? He says, I think this might have been in the daily reading, he says to the people, he says, you're always asking me for signs. Here's the sign you'll get, the sign of Jonah. It's the only one you'll get. And Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days, that's the sign. That's the sign. The Paschal mystery. The sign I'm giving you is my life lived for you and brought to completion in God.